Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Super Mercado Brothers Video Game Music Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Once again, this is the podcast where we share and discuss the very best in video game music. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
And I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Today, we are very lucky to be joined by our third brother, Marty Brueggemann. Marty, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. You know, as some of you know, last week we mentioned that these next couple weeks are going to be so exciting episodes. And now, finally, hopefully you guys know what we're talking about. Today, we're going to be talking about the wonderful soundtrack to The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. And not surprisingly, next week means that we're going to be talking about The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess. So this is just going to be a double whammy of wonderful Zelda music, really long overdue. It's crazy to think that we haven't had spotlights on these two soundtracks. And of course, we got to bring Marty in to share in the Zelda love.
Ah, thanks, guys.
Yeah, Marty and Will, particularly as far as the games, really big Zelda fans. I'm definitely a fan of the music, and I've tried to get into some of the games, but you guys are definitely, I would say, you know, pretty much through and through Zelda fans for sure.
Well, I think Wind Waker and Twilight Princess are some of the easiest games to get into, and they were both some of the earliest Zelda games that really captivated me enough to play them to completion.
Yeah, and those were actually some of the only two Zelda games that I've played a decent amount of both of them. So.
Well, and it's also a nice pairing because they're actually both built with the same engine the games are, and it's more or less the same team, or at least a lot
such
of the same
beautiful games.
Same people.
I'll never forget when
teams.
I first saw Wind Waker. You know, the cel-shaded style was a fairly new thing to do that in a video game. Now we've seen it so many times, but it was such a beautiful choice, a little bit controversial choice. I know there are people that they thought, oh, it's too cartoony, I want more of a serious game. But I think once you started to play it, you just realized how unique of an experience it
was.
Well,
I think especially in retrospect, it's held up so well. Right. It was really a brilliant decision of, you know, where so many games at the time were really just kind of showing off. They were trying to really showcase what you can do with their impressive hardware and internals. And nowadays, we don't look at those games as, you know, being graphically all that impressive, but we can still look at something like Wind Waker and say, wow, that's beautiful. What a cool and creative aesthetic.
And also musically, really a strong soundtrack, really great collaboration between this team. Let's talk a little bit about the people that were responsible for the soundtrack before we get into it. What you guys did here playing in was the title of the Wind Waker. Now, that was a track composed by Kenta Nagata. Now, Kenta Nagata, who you probably know his name from Mario Kart 64, but he's done a lot of other great work at Nintendo. He was the director of the music
of
this
game. He was the sound director.
So he was the lead composer. He composed most of the music and was, we found out in recent years, responsible for really kind of setting the tone of having that swashbuckling nature to the music. Obviously, that was an integral part of the game, but he was really responsible for making that happen. So he wrote that track. He wrote some of the biggest themes in the game. Koji Kondo was also involved. He wrote a few tracks in the soundtrack. We also have Hajime Wakai, who's a wonderfully legendary and prolific Nintendo composer. And last but not least, Toru Minegishi, who is, I think, a newcomer at this point, maybe, to the series?
He was pretty new. He had done a few tracks on Majora's Mask.
Yes.
Yeah, he was first non-Koji Kondo composer to work on a mainline Zelda game.
And we're going
to hear a lot from him next week,
which I am incredibly excited for. But let's get into it, because we got a lot of great music to play today. So after the title, you know, going chronologically, pretty much
it's just a beautiful piece.
Oh my gosh, such a beautiful piece. It has that swashbuckling feel, kind of like a sea shanty. It really feels like something you'd hear on a pirate ship, and we're going to go back to that later.
Well, I think
one
of the coolest things about this first piece is it's an incredibly memorable melody. You know, it definitely lives up to the Zelda seal of quality as far as, you know, the power of the melody. But I think what makes it so unique, like Carl mentioned, it is swashbuckling, and part of that has to do with sort of the meter and the feel. But I think a big part of it has to do with that the chords don't really change. It's all happening over the same chord progression, which definitely gives it a distinct feel, and it's something that's completely unique to Wind Waker among all other games in the series.
Absolutely. So right. The next piece of music you'd hear in the game is called The Legendary Hero, and this was one of the tracks that was composed by the man himself, Koji Kondo. So let's take a listen to this wonderful track from Wind Waker.
Thank you.
wonderful. You guys are listening to The Legendary Hero from The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker, composed by Koji Kondo. We're all enjoying this circa 2003 violin sound here. This is so great. I'm going to let Marty take the reins and start off, maybe giving his thoughts about this track. Obviously, you started off with that wonderful swashbuckling theme, moving into Koji's original Zelda theme. Marty, what are your thoughts on this track?
You know, it's just terrific. Thinking about the game a little bit more from our 2015 perspective, they're really taking a chance, not only with the art style, but also with where the game is set, what kind of adventure it is,
yeah,
and really with the music. And you mentioned earlier how Kenta Nagata really kind of took the lead there and kind of shaping what the style would be. But I'm just blown away by this piece by Koji. I mean, that those first 2 minutes... which is this original piece of music that we haven't heard before, it somehow taps into something very ancient or at least sort of like Renaissance.
Yes, definitely
era.
Renaissance. It's perfect.
But he's...
It's so unmistakably Zelda, though, at the same time,
yeah,
too. And I don't
absolutely.
Just mean that as kind of artificial patting him on the back. Like, really, like, for the longest time when playing this game, I kept thinking, like, this main theme right here was an arrangement of something from, like, Link to the Past.
Marty, I think what you were getting at, right, is that it's such a different style from the swashbuckling nature of the rest of the game. Once he goes into that main theme.
Once he gets into the main theme, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But it's really, he creates a nice bridge between the sort of swashbuckling, overtly Gaelic style mm-hmm. that Kenta Nagata really is asking for in this game.
Sure.
And what we already know of Zelda. And, you know, the harpsichord, I think, is a big part of that bridge, but also just his incredible musical instinct. And the other thing I was thinking about when listening to this is how comfortable Koji seems to be working in this particular position in the game. It's that sort of opening narrative. And that's the same spot that he
does
ended up tackling on Skyward Sword mm-hmm. also.
Yeah, that's a really important integral, role to have. You know, when you think of, I can't tell you guys how many soundtracks, because I go through tons of them to prepare for episodes on this show. How many soundtracks are top heavy where the first few
that's
tracks are
point.
The best in the soundtrack?
Sure.
And I will say that this, the title, some of the first pieces of music we're going to hear are some of the strongest. It's letting you know what the game's going to be.
Making that first impression is possibly the most important thing. And the cool thing about this game is that a lot of the stuff that we talk about on the show, we've never played the game and we don't know much of the backstory. But here, sure. you know, what that's the cool thing about Zelda is that we're so familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
This is an important part of the game because it's sort of setting up the entire backstory of this adventure. And the thing that makes Wind Waker unique amongst the Zelda games, other than its art style and its music, is that the game takes place on these desperate little islands, and the land of Hyrule is really nowhere to be seen at the beginning. So
right.
it does this amazing job of quickly explaining the events of, you know, Ocarina of Time, and talking about how when Link was returned to be a little boy at the end of that game and have the events of Majora's Mask take place, that there was no hero left. But anyways, why I bring that up is that one of my favorite things about this really shows Koji's chops is almost like a film scorer mm-hmm. because the emotions of
That's
the music are directly tied to the beats of the storytelling.
Well, also,
here.
You know,
it's
a cutscene,
beautiful art style,
is much more close to a film than the rest of the game would be, because it's not as much interactive. It's about, there's kind of a static thing that you're watching, and it is similar to a film. You know, it's the opening movie.
Right.
The mixture of sounds, we talked about the harpsichord and the flute. It's balancing between this kind of medieval Renaissance sound and almost like mm-hmm. a Baroque sound,
yep.
and that's what's so cool about it. It's just vaguely classic and ancient. And he does that with sort of the harmony, this kind of modal harmony. But I just, again, his instincts, both musically, melodically, but also as far as the implementation, this is one of the most impressive sounding tracks, I
oh,
think,
yeah.
in the whole game.
It's super good. Well, now we're going to move on to another knockout. This is a Kenta Nagata track. This is Outset Island.
Oh,
one
my
of the,
gosh.
Yeah, it's so good. One of the pieces that really kind of establishes the emotional tone of this game. Let's take a listen to Outset Island, composed by Kenta Nagata. Thank you. What a wonderful piece of music. You guys are listening to Outset Island from Wind Waker, composed by Kenta Nagata.
Oh, man, so good.
This just kills it. Yeah, one thing, I think this is a very classy piece of music because most of the material is original, but there's these moments where he harkens back to the music from Ocarina of Time in a really classy way. He's kind of changing the context of the melody that you're familiar with. So when you hear it, it's, I don't know, it just makes you smile, whether it's conscious or subconscious. I think anyone familiar with Ocarina coming into this game is going to smile listening to this.
And it fits the aesthetic of what they're going for with this game, which is sort of like, wait, did this happen before? Like, right. It's almost like...
which is really every Zelda game.
Right, right. But that idea that there's sort of like echoes of this old legend, and is that
sure.
in our time? I'm just thinking of George Lucas saying, like, you know, it rhymes. But... No, we love George Lucas and we love rhyming, but I totally agree with you, Carl. Those little Kokiri Forest moments are just really tasteful, and they bring a new dimension to them, really, in the way that he.
Well, his entry point into it is really interesting because, particularly in that C section,
right?
That little trill, that quick little ornamentation, is so utilized in the Kokiri Forest theme. So I wonder if it was when composing that section of the melody that he's like, you know, this reminds me of that theme from Ocarina. This would be a good entry point of kind of mixing the two together.
Well, man, I think The Legend of Zelda is one of my favorite series video game music because the way that they harken back to old themes, the way they bring things back and mix it with new is tasteful, and it's almost like, I don't want to say that it's taking advantage of us, but it really is playing with our emotions, and it's trying to just push our buttons of, I want to make you feel something as much as possible. And that's really the point of music.
Yeah. I think one of the catchiest things about this track, honestly, is that bass line, that bassoon. Like,
it's so good.
It's so, like, the groove that's established is so good.
And then very cute track.
That A melody, I mean, for at least in my opinion, it's up there with the greatest Nintendo melodies
it
ever.
It's
just amazing.
It's a classic. It's an absolute classic.
Yeah, I mean, every beat has something interesting going on. The way you think of... It's just so rhythmically...
And that tambourine.
That's why I have a hard time, you know, believing that Koji Kondo didn't have some influence with this melody, at least.
Right.
Because it's so satisfying rhythmically, the way that so much of his music is. And I know that's one of the things that's always been important to him compositionally.
And we're going to talk about this especially next week, but everybody knows, notoriously, Nintendo's not the best at crediting. So there's been so many things throughout the years of, you know, track being credited to one composer, and then later on we find out it's someone else. So this is the best we have to work with.
Right.
So that being said, let's move on to a track that features a little bit of the main theme, really one of the main themes of this game, Aero's theme, but then it goes into something else. So it's not really that full theme. It's Aero's Kidnapping, and this track was worked on by any of these gentlemen. We're not sure exactly who worked on this track, but this is Aero's Kidnapping from Wind Waker. You guys are listening to Aero's Kidnapping from Wind Waker, and this is so effective because Marty was saying when we were listening to this, he gives you this taste of the Aero's theme, which, you know, you're going to be familiar with because you're going to hear that beginning quite a bit, but you never actually get to hear the full-blown melody until much later in the game.
With a sort of ballad presentation of it, yeah.
But yeah, interesting. Let's talk about, obviously, you know, we're going to talk about Aero's theme proper when we get to that track. But without talking about that too much, let's talk about the turn that it makes. Now, you know, sometimes when you make that drastic of a turn it could be a little obnoxious. It could be a little jarring. Here, there's something about it that, for me, it really works. And it feels, again, it's one of these moments that does feel kind of like film score. It feels, there's an authenticity
here.
Well,
you really have to talk about what's happening in the game, because they really didn't have a choice. There's a sudden turn in the images in this cutscene. Errol, who's Link's younger sister, is waving to him from the other side of this bridge, and she gets snatched by this giant bird that takes her away. And so what's cool is when you hear that ominous trilling high strings line that comes in, the that's when you sort of see the bird in the distance, and you're making the connection. You see that, and then you see her, and the camera's cutting back. And so it's very cinematic and incredibly exciting how it sort of plays out.
So good. All right, now we're going to move on to another track that was composed by Koji Kondo, at least confirmed. It's possible he composed a couple more. We know that he only did a small amount, but this is another track he composed, and really listening to it before I even knew that, I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds like Koji Kondo, the way that he uses repetition.
Well, and here's the thing. The reason that we know this one, the reason it's confirmed, is because he freaking played it live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other pieces that it's like we don't know just because he's never said anything.
Right. Yeah, we've had at least two pieces that were pretty much outed by Koji Kondo himself. At live concerts. At one point, the new Super Mario Brothers theme wasn't properly credited to him, so people were wondering, oh, why is he playing this?
Why are you playing this?
He started playing Grandma's theme at a couple of different concerts. Mm-hmm. But how wonderful now that we have that confirmation.
Let's take a listen to Grandma from Wind Waker. What a beautiful piece of music. You guys are listening to Grandma, composed by Koji Kondo. Marty, I'm going to let you start off talking about what are some of the things that you really enjoy about this track.
Well, what I really love is that, honestly, there is a sea shanty quality to this melody.
Somehow he does it.
You could picture like a band of pirates, you know, like in like a PG
rated movie. And that's so impressive
because
you never get that.
Along.
You never actually get that pirate variation of this theme, but you imagine it.
Yeah, so it's almost this wonderful like fusion of, you know, kind of a shanty and then just a very classic kind of Koji level ballad. It's just beautiful.
You know, he establishes a really simple motive and just uses it pretty much for the entire piece. And it's just, it's that thing we talk about a lot with Koji Kondo where it's mind-bogglingly simple. It's very simple, I challenge anyone else to try to write something this simple. It won't be as good.
Right, because I think it's all been done, and it hasn't.
Once you hear ya-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, you might be able to generally predict where it's going to go, but that is the thing. What makes this piece great is ya-da-da-da-da-da-ya-da-da. That's not just an easy thing. It is simple, but that's not just like, you know, the first thing you play when you come up to
it
a
might
piano,
be
like,
his
very well crafted.
It might be the first thing he plays.
Is that, oh my gosh, what a gift. And Carl, I like what you were saying about the B section when that came up. I know for me that kind of reminds me of Link to the Past, Super Mario World era.
Yeah, you know, it feels so familiar in an emotional way. Yeah, a lot of Koji Kondo's music feels familiar in the best kind of way. It's not that we've heard these melodies before, but it's the emotion that we're feeling reminds us of something from the past.
Well, one of the most effective things about the opening of this game is how cinematic it is. And I don't just mean that in the cutscenes, but
a good point.
Even in the score, the way that motifs are used is very much like a film. One of the coolest things, and we forgot to mention in this with Outset Island is, since it, we talked about how it harkens to Errol's theme, which we haven't really heard in full yet, but that C section that we hear, the that actually doesn't play during the opening of the game. That only happens after Errol has been kidnapped. So what's so cool about that is that location is sort of implied by the rhythms and the instruments and the chords of that theme, but of that song. But really, that main melody is just responding to Errol is in that first part of the game, and then she gets kidnapped, and you no longer hear her theme.
That's interesting.
The whole opening of the game really plays out that way, where these melodies are specifically attached to characters, and they follow them around, much like you would see in a movie.
Yeah, it definitely feels like an evolution of the series. Not saying that it has better melodies than previous games, but how they're using the music feels a little bit more sophisticated than the Zeldas we've seen before.
You know, it'd be hard not to credit that to Kenta Nagata, then, possibly.
Right.
Because that's a really good point. It does use motifs in a way that we're more sort of familiar with in film music, and not so much in video games, and actually not very much in Zelda at all.
Well, and it's funny, not to keep foreshadowing to next week, but that's something that just continues to
grow.
That's
a great
Twilight
point.
Princess is almost the biggest when you think of motivic development.
Well, I'm excited to play another track. This is one of my favorites. This is Inside the Pirate Ship from Wind Waker. You guys are listening to Inside the Pirate Ship. This is such a fun and devious piece of music. This was I have a feeling it was probably composed by Kenta Nagata, but this one is one of the ones that's not confirmed, so it could be composed by any of these fine gentlemen.
So fun, man.
Will, I know that we've talked about this track before on the podcast. It may have been our pirate episode, but when you think about this track, what are some of the things that it makes, that it reminds you of?
Well, I just think I love the character of this melody. I love that we're hearing it in sort of like a trombone instrument. I love in the...
There's a silliness to it somehow.
The Symphony of the Goddesses arrangement by Chad Sider, he features it in the bassoon, which I think is great because it has such a character. But the melody, it really does feel like a pirate on their day off, or you're getting to see their sweeter side, where it's not swashbuckling and angry and hasty and, you know, exciting.
It's relaxed.
There's a real charm to it, and humor.
But there's so much personality, a real almost swankiness to that melody. And it's funny because the first time that you really hear this is there's a character on the ship who's kind of... he has a little bit of a self-confidence issue, and he's kind of always jealous of Link and wants to show that he's tougher than Link, but a really kind of likable character. And to me, whenever I hear this theme, I just think of that character. He has this backwards hat and is just this little, you know, scrubby little guy.
Right.
I don't know about you guys.
That's awesome. Well, now we're going to move on to another track that is composed by Kenta Nagata. This is Windfall Island. Enjoy. You guys just listened to Windfall Island from Wind Waker, not surprisingly, composed by Kenta Nagata. This is another example of taking a theme that we've heard before and completely changing it up. It's such a classy reimagining. There's some people that might not even notice what we're talking about. The Kakariko Village theme from Link to the Past.
Will, sort of enters maybe like 30 seconds into
this Will, piece. Do you want to talk about maybe something that you noticed maybe today listening to this, or something that you noticed, you know, when you're playing this game about this piece of music?
Well, I think it's interesting. The effect isn't that the melody comes in when that comes in, because really the whole intro section that's just playing the chords is very melodic because the top voice is very catchy. Yun, dun, dun. Dun 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 dun. Mm-hmm. It really catches your attention. You're already liking the piece. The other thing, much like Outset Island, it has that yun dun 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 dun. Dun, dun, which that really fun, exciting groove that seems to be its own little motif that's reoccurring on all these, I guess, more pleasant islands. But then when you hear yatta, 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 you think you're going to get Kakariko Village, but it sort of takes that idea and spins it into its own little melody, which is perfect because the function of this island is much like Kakariko Village is in all the other Zelda games. This is where you go to the stores. This is where you talk to people and buy things. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of what's great is Kakariko Village is meant to be relaxing. It's the part of your adventure where you're sort of at ease. And this is capturing that same emotional quality, but still within the musical language of Wind Waker, which is that swashbuckling, is that seafaring adventure.
So much of this soundtrack is relaxing. I mean, other than the boss themes and other than the temples and stuff, a lot of the music is very relaxing, which fits the game's tone very well. Now we're going to move on to one of the most important themes. It was also composed by Kenta Nagata. It's one of my favorites. I think it's probably one of the most beautiful in the game. Let's take a listen to Ocean. Such a beautiful theme. You guys are listening to Ocean from Wind Waker, composed by Kenta Nagata. Whew, this is just a knockout.
Yeah, beautiful piece of music. Wow. You know, I love how he is sort of taking advantage of this marching snare pattern that that you heard a lot on the Ocarina of Time soundtrack, which I don't think I really did associate that sort of a drum rhythm with Zelda prior to Ocarina of Time.
Well, this also, it works so well. The pace of this and the emotional tone of this, it just almost, I feel like I'm sailing, even if I didn't know that was the context. Like, it just feels like I'm on the water. There is a rousing just kind of spirit to this track that is just undeniable.
Well, the other thing, there's so many sustained notes, and for anyone who's played this game, you know that traveling across the ocean, it really does take a long time. It's not really an expedited process the way I think one people's complaint with Skyward Sword is they tried to take away some of that travel time.
Yeah,
works well in the game, but I think it does detract something from the atmosphere of feeling like you're part of this giant world, and sailing from one part of the map to the other takes a long
time. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I think that's one of the reasons why this piece was maybe a little bit longer than maybe some of the other tracks. There's a little bit more meat to this piece, and really, you can tell that he was pouring his heart into this. This is something that the game players are going to hear a lot in the game.
Well, it's very
so
much
it's
in
important.
That Hyrule Field tradition, because the ocean right. in this game is much like Hyrule Field is in Ocarina of Time, and much like that, it's responsive to the environment. So there's so many things that can happen to you while you're at sea. You can get sucked up into a tornado, or you can get into a fight, a cannon fight with, you know, other enemies.
That's an interesting parallel, yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think functionally, the player does end up hearing this probably more mm-hmm. than any other piece of music.
And that's a good thing, because so it's one of
yeah,
the strongest
it does end up then kind of having that place that, you know, a Hyrule Field theme would have, or sort of a main theme would have.
Well, finally, we're going to move on to a boss theme. This is the mini boss theme from Wind Waker, and Hajime Wakai was responsible for the battle music in this game. He did almost all the boss music, and he did a great job with it. Let's take a listen to the mini boss theme from Wind Waker. That's unique. You guys just listened to the mini boss from Wind Waker, composed by Hajime Wakai. Again, it's a really interesting way to incorporate the swashbuckling nature with something that's a little bit more tense, you know, like a boss theme really needs to be. Right. There's a sense of humor to this.
Well said.
Is really something that maybe you wouldn't expect for a boss theme, but it's a mini boss theme, you know.
Yeah, I think overall I'm just so touched by how positive the soundtrack is to
sure.
Wind Waker. And really the game, almost energetically or philosophically, is very positive. And, you know, they're kind of true to that all the way down the aesthetic, you know, from the look, from the plotting, from the gameplay and the music. And, you know, I think typically we hear boss music as an opportunity to kind of like throw out all the stops and almost kind of irritate us as players. And that certainly could have happened here, and it probably would have worked because we do get frustrated when we're playing against those bosses.
Sure.
But I so appreciate just, I guess, how positive this piece of music is. I'm definitely getting the tension that I would need in kind of facing that adversary.
Sure.
But it's also very memorable. And like you said, Carl, it maintains that swashbuckling aesthetic. And really, it kind of leaves you with something wholesome.
That's that is something I'll say, is that Hajime Wakai's work on the soundtrack feels super cohesive with Kenta's stuff. You know, I don't know exactly, but I assume Minagishi's tracks. It all feels, that's one of the things that makes it so hard, is it is hard to tell who did what track because it's all very similar.
See, what I think is so great about this is the function of the mini bosses in Wind Waker, they're not really like the other bosses. What they would probably call mini bosses are honestly a lot of points in the game where you need to learn a skill. So it's mm-hmm. fighting an enemy that later on you'll just be able to breeze through. But this first time when you're learning your skills, it plays this more sort of dramatic music. So it's usually not at right. the points of the game where you're at like the final
yeah.
big boss fight.
You can hear that
play
here,
over
yeah.
and over again.
That's awesome. Well, guys, I couldn't be more excited to move on to this week's track of the week. If this soundtrack was an album, this would be the number one hit single.
This would top the charts.
It's definitely the most memorable track to come from this game. Everybody knows this. This is Dragon Roost Island. Really an easy choice. If you had to pick one track to show someone from the soundtrack, it's so unique. It's so wonderful. It's composed, of course, by Kenta Nagata. Let's take a listen to Dragon Roost Island. This is an absolute gem. It really is a classic piece of video game music. You guys are listening to Dragon Roost Island, composed by Kenta Nagata from The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
Wow, we could almost go home after that, guys. I mean, it just... It's one of those rare universal pieces of music. I have a hard time... I mean... Even at what feels kind of like my old age, mm-hmm. and I know how much negativity there is out in the world and how much cynicism, I just really still have a hard time imagining anyone not liking this piece of music.
Right. I think that's a great point. And also it's
hard, a melody.
Hard to imagine a time when this didn't exist because it feels so familiar and classic and just pure. It's such a clear idea. Immediately, you know, a lot of times, right. like as a composer, you'll write something. Let's say you record it and then you come back to it the next day. A lot of times you're like, oh, that's just, it's kind of like jumbled. Like, what's, I don't even know if that's actually good anymore.
And right, there isn't that clarity.
There's not that clarity. This is such a clear, simple idea that just cuts through as soon as you hear it. The first right. time I heard it, I loved it right away.
Right. Well, the thing that's so cool to me is that Kenta Nagata is clearly... trying to send up a Koji Kondo Legend of Zelda theme.
Yeah.
Like, to me, sure, this piece sure. is so inspired by... the Dark World right. theme from Link to the Past, or even that...
Even Gerudo Valley. I mean, yeah. Sure. Just yeah. really capturing those kind of, like, those perfect Koji Kondo melodies.
And really it is the peak of the swashbuckling feel on the soundtrack, really. This is where it all comes full circle. And
I mean, you could almost have imagined this as, like, the proof of concept. I mean, we mm-hmm. don't know how this game was really worked on or the soundtrack, but you can really picture Kenta Nagata saying, like, yeah, this is kind of what I mean by a swashbuckling, you know, Zelda aesthetic.
Well, yeah, he would definitely have sold me if that's the case. Well, now let's move on to Godan. Here we go. You guys are listening to Godan from The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker. I really enjoy how progressive this track is. It feels so different style-wise from most right. of the tracks you hear in the soundtrack. But again, it's not completely, it doesn't throw you for a loop. Like, you kind of, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's well done so you accept it. Like, I think if you go for a completely different style and don't do it very well, there's a big risk of kind of losing people. But in this one, I don't know, it just... It's really good background video game music.
Well, and it's still, it's not like it has these giant, deep taiko drums or mm-hmm. low bass drums or like distorted guitars or sort of demonic choirs. You still hear these cute little mm-hmm. Harpsichord lines. And so it's like...
I really like the ostinato on the organ.
It is kind of pushing, you know, the aesthetic of this game about as far as it can go into sort of like an experimental place, but there's still a charm there, which is kind of amazing.
Awesome. Well, now we're finally going to move on to really one of the most important pieces in the game. This is Errol's theme. Obviously, you know, playing this game, you heard little hearkenings to this, but you never really heard the full version until this point. So let's take a listen to Errol's theme, composed by Kenta Nagata. Thank you. guys are listening to Errol's theme from Wind Waker. This was composed by Kenta Nagata. Wow, this is beautiful. Marty, talk a little bit about some of the things that stand out to you about this piece.
Well, you know, we're first introduced to it in Outset Island, and in that setting, it's jaunty, and it really has this kind of infectious, kind of short presentation. Almost feels like maybe like a Mario level or something.
You know, it reminds me of the variations that Koji Kondo does in his Mario games where people might not even notice it.
Sure.
It's such a different context that you may miss it.
Sure. And I actually love that that's the way that we were first introduced to it, because in some ways that might be like the most infectious presentation of this melody.
Right.
But it's, and so from that context, it's sort of miraculous how lovely it is, you know, when played in this kind of legato, sustained way. And also it's harmonized differently than how we hear it in Outset. You know, we hear these sort of like lovely, you know, descending kind of chromatic chords that feel sort of like a vintage, you know, Japanese video game or Joe Hisaishi sort of
wonderful.
A moment. Yeah, really nice. And actually the sounds, we haven't talked all that much about it on this soundtrack, but boy, I really think a lot of these samples hold up really well. You get what they're going for, and it doesn't feel dated or doesn't feel sort of off. And this track, the piano sound in particular, I think is just beautiful.
Well, I think the reason for that is because there's so much expression in these tracks, and they were really slaved over, and there was a lot of time, I can tell you, especially knowing this was worked on in 2002, really when they were working on it, a lot of time and care was put into making the sound as authentic as it does here.
Right.
And that's why it holds up, is because there's so much expression. And as long as there's expression, you're going to accept it. If you just hear kind of default blocky sounds that don't really have a lot of subtlety or human, or trying to capture human expression, it's not really going to hold up. Whereas here, it's very subtle.
Well, and I think I think overall, across the entire soundtrack, there's a lot of space and great use of space. And I would say that we tend not to have these just sustaining pads or just these beds of sounds.
Sure.
You know, we're getting more plucky kind of harpsichord, harp, mandolin kind of accompaniment that usually isn't sort of like sustaining or really kind of globbing or smearing over the track. And really a lot of the solo instruments too have quite a lot of clarity to them. So
doubling too, you know, they use violin and piano a lot, which again, when you double that, if you're talking about having effective, you know, general MIDI music on the GameCube, it's going to make each of the instruments a little bit more masked, where you're not just hearing solo piano or just violin. And that doubling is very effective in a track like this. Well, now we're going to move on to an interesting track. This is The Fairy Queen, which is a variation of the Fairy Fountain theme. I thought it was pretty effective. You know, obviously, every single game uses this theme, so you could just axe any time that comes up in a Zelda game. But I thought this is a pretty interesting take on it, and I'm curious to hear Marty and Will, their opinion on this. This is The Fairy Queen. Well, that's a goofy little variation of the Fairy Fountain theme. That's the Fairy Queen from The Wind Waker. Who knows who was responsible for working on this? Obviously, originally composed by Koji Kondo. Very silly and fun and positive. It kind of matches some of the tone of this
right.
game. Yeah, is there anything that stood out to you guys about maybe what is different about this variation?
Yeah, you know, I was just kind of remarking when we were all listening to it that this is one of the only times I can think of really a lot of liberties being taken with this theme.
Sure.
You know, it's one of the few pieces of music that happens, I mean, ever since Link to the Past, in essentially every Zelda game, because it's usually placed in the menu as the background music. So that also means that, like, we're used to kind of hearing it preserved where it's almost sort of sacred.
Exactly.
I mean, it does feel almost like a spiritual sacred piece of music to begin with. But that's why I love the chances that they're taking. You know, on the one hand, it might sound like what we're describing are people playing it really safe, or sort of like, oh, this is sort of like a censored PG or G-rated game and soundtrack. But I don't look at it that way. I mean, I think there's a lot of intention that goes into this, but really, the charm and the humor is a key ingredient to what makes this game special.
For sure.
And I'm really surprised, actually, that people would be able to, that the composers working on this game are willing to take this chance here. And I think it really pays off.
I think that's a really good point, Marty. I think that's a really nice way of thinking about it. And I think that extends to everything. It's sort of the irony about how the art style, you may think it's sort of playing a safe approach, but it was the most controversial art style in Zelda's history. Just because it's child-friendly and accessible does not mean that it's easy to swallow for a lot of, you know, hardcore Zelda fans. And it's just down to every little detail about this game. You know, in Ocarina of Time and all the subsequent games, they sort of establish that the fairies have this interesting look where they're just this, like, glowing orb with wings, and you can't really make out what they are. But in this game, they're just these cartoony little cute fairies with blonde hair and magic wands.
And that's why this music works so well.
In the bottle.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, there's this real charm and sweetness to it.
Absolutely. Well, now we're going to move on to the next track on our playlist. This is Medley's Awakening. Here we go. Here you're getting almost like, kind of revisiting the world that was established in Dragon Roost Island.
Right.
Obviously, before that, we heard the title melody. Will, do you want to talk about maybe a little bit of this character, Medley? This is Medley's Awakening.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Medley was one of the little guys that you meet in the forest. They're these adorable little creatures that wear these little leaf masks. And at one point you have to rescue some of them from this ancient temple. But the cool thing about Wind Waker and a lot of Zelda games is that you go back to areas and revisit them again and again. And at one point you need one of these specific guys to play a little tune and play this music to activate whatever. But there's a musical quality that like actually exists within the game. Like, music is acknowledged,
kind of like Ocarina.
And that's
yeah.
one of the cool things about the game is in most of the other Zelda adventures, if you have any instrument, you know, it's something that you play or make sound on. But with this game, you have sort of a conductor's baton, and so it's used in a lot of creative ways in the game to do actual functional things in the gameplay. But it's also used sometimes in literal senses where you're, you know, leading people to create music. And I think that's, if I remember correctly, that's sort of what's happening in this example.
Very cool. Well, now we're going to move on to another Hajime Wakai composition. This is Mulgera.
Thank you.
You guys are listening to Malguera from Wind Waker. This was composed by Hajime Wakai, one of my favorite pieces of music that he contributed to the soundtrack. It's so unique. It walks that line between, it's still silly and positive, but it's a little bit more tense. You know, obviously there's a really effective vocal sample there. But one thing I want to talk about a little bit here is, let's talk a little bit about the context of video game boss music, because there's so sure. much boss music I listen to every week that is not that good.
Right.
So what
almost
are some
by
things,
design.
Yeah, what are some things about this track that maybe makes it stand out? Because we've all played
games.
It has
games. A melody.
Yeah, we all know boss music. Really? Yeah, let's talk about it.
But I mean, if this one has a melody, and I actually do think that needs to be said. A lot of boss music is completely
Absolutely.
Rhythmic and harmonic. And even in the Zelda series, I think of a lot of boss music as being kind of ostinato based, having a melody that's a little bit less memorable and succinct, or just being kind of a power chord.
I don't mean that it's necessarily all bad, but just if you're listening to it on its own, talking about it on a podcast, it's not as interesting. It's probably
what's so
very
fascinating to me.
Sure.
What's so fascinating to me about this one is, it not only does it have a melody, but it almost sounds like it's quoting a melody from a main theme or something. Like, it's a really well-composed, solid melody with
great
phrases, but it's only used in this boss
I
theme.
Feel like it winks at Lost Woods from Ocarina of Time.
I can hear that.
Da, 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 da. It's just it's positioned in
does
like a different
part of the.
Does
this happen to be in a
measure.
Forest by any chance?
I'm not I'm sure. Part of me
tweet
thinks
at us, guys.
Malguera is the name of...
Yeah, I think it's...
I think Malguera is the name of the dragon on Dragon Roost Island, but I may be wrong.
Well, we're going to play the next track, and we're going to look that up and let you guys know. We're now going to move on to Hero of the Wind. Here we go. Excellent. That is Hero of the Wind from Wind Waker. Well, what were you saying when we were listening to this? You recognized this from something.
Well, Chad Sider uses this in the 25th anniversary, or I guess the Symphony of the Goddesses Wind Waker movement. Something that I noticed interesting about this, though, it's obviously evoking the intro from the original Legend of Zelda. Yeah, mm-hmm. da, 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 da. But even down to the but I think a fun little tidbit is that since, you know, this uses that tubular bell hit right at the beginning, which is actually a reference to the Famicom version of the Legend of Zelda intro, because on the NES version, we don't get anything like that, but on the Famicom, actually, it uses that FDS channel mm-hmm. to synthesize like this bell hit, and it's very cinematic and powerful, and I think it's
especially
kinda cool
back in that,
that
day, yeah,
that you get sort of a remnant of that.
Wow, yeah, great observation. I had forgotten
that's
about that.
Really cool. Well, now we're going to move on to another track composed by Hajime Wakai. This is Ganondorf Battle. We're approaching the end, guys.
I love this one. I think this actually has a really good melody, and speaking of the Symphony of the Goddesses, this is one of the coolest parts in that whole movement, in my opinion, just how this is orchestrated. It's a really fun track.
This is Ganondorf Battle.
We'll be right back.
That's how you do it, folks. That is the Ganondorf Battle from Wind Waker, composed by Hajime Wakai. Marty, I'll let you start off taking the reins on this. The first thing I noticed about this is just how iconic and classic that left-hand piano ostinato is for Zelda boss music.
Right, and it's something that used to happen in sort of scary moments in Hollywood film scores a little more often. You don't tend to hear it as much these days, but that is sort of almost like atonal, like tone row-ish, kind of like left hand. What's cool here
Absolutely.
Is it's like doubled almost on every note by the timpani is pretty effective.
And it's something that you would, it's easier to do when you're just doing general MIDI because you just copy and paste, right?
Right. But, you know, again, big shout out to the great marching snare pattern. Like, there's such great snare patterns in this entire soundtrack. And, you know, Will had mentioned earlier how it's kind of one of the standouts in Chad Sider's arrangement of the Wind Waker music. But I had kind of forgotten how just how much the piece itself already lends itself to that kind of full orchestration.
Yeah, all the stuff is there.
All the ingredients are there in the percussion. And like you were saying about the low ostinato. And then we even hear those choral elements. And then it lasts so long that we eventually get to the proper sort of quote of Ganon's theme or Ganondorf's theme.
I will say that this is a piece that really wants the full orchestration.
Right.
I think it's probably one of the most underwhelming things. You know, honestly, like Outset Island, going between the orchestral one and this one, you know, it just feels like a faithful realization of what that is already communicating. But with this, you'd really need the orchestral flourish because it's not exactly like a hummable melody. I mean, I really like the melody and I think it has a lot of character. But it really having that full orchestration and the power of that full brass and string section is really brings this one to life. And it was definitely that moment of like, wow, this is a great Zelda theme, but somehow I never gave it its dues back on the original GameCube.
That's Same a fair here. Point. Yeah. Well, now we're going to move on to the last track of the day. This is the ending from Wind Waker. Beautiful goodbye to this soundtrack. That was the ending composed by Kenta Nagata. Bang up job, all of the fine gentlemen on Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
I think it's such a fitting send up for the end of the game because really, I'm sure you notice we're getting these two contrasting forces in this theme. Both things that we've heard before, both the inside the pirate ship thing, which I really think is sort of the motif of the pirates.
And then also
you know, it really has
theme.
That fun pirate swashbuckling quality to it, but also Errol's theme in the way that it's combined in the end is really symbolic of what's happening in the story. It's the end of the game and it's sort of bringing together of, you know, you've rescued your sister Errol and it's all thanks to the pirates. And what's fun about the end of Nintendo games is they're very kind of feel-good emotions, that kind of nostalgia, melancholy of the adventure's over, but you usually get to see all the characters all over again. And so that's what's kind of fitting about bringing those two worlds together.
Well, and it's great because I think rarely do two different sort of musical ideas unite in just such
an
infectious way.
It works so well.
And it really is a lovely sort of like kind of... It's a lovely sort of like final recap of the aesthetic of the whole game, which
That's
is that it's like you could tell this adventure and have so much fun while doing it.
Well, guys, I don't know about you, but I had an absolute blast today. Thanks, Marty, for joining us. And
thanks for
also,
having me, guys.
Yeah.
This was so fun.
And Marty's going to be with us next week as well because we're doing this two-part Zelda focus, and it's just too much fun to not have Marty next week. And as good as this episode was, if you guys enjoyed this, we really do think next week is going to outdo it. I can't wait to talk about Twilight Princess next week.
How many hours do we have for next week?
We have to condense it.
We really have fun in our Nintendo Month episodes. Mm-hmm. It's really my favorite time of year on the podcast. And this is why, you know, just getting to explore some of the greatest soundtracks in game history. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolutely. Well, Will, did you want to give a little plug maybe of something that's coming pretty soon, Super Mercado Bros. Wise?
Well, for sure. It's very exciting that all three of us are here, and it's very timely, too, because at the time you're listening, this upcoming Saturday, November 14th, the three of us, Carl, Marty, and myself, are going to be having a panel on the history of video game music at the convention Gamers Rhapsody. This is our second year of doing this. Some of you may remember last year, we did a panel, the three of us, with Tim Turry from Game Informer and our good friend Emily Reese of Top Score. But this year, it's just going to be the Mercado Brothers. Last year, we did a panel on classical music and its influence in video games. And this year, we're doing a panel on the history of video game music. Those of you who have been with us for a long time may remember our episode that we did back, I think, in season two.
One of my favorite
things
we've done,
yeah.
Of the show.
Yeah, I'm really still proud of that episode. So really, the idea of this panel came out of sort of revisiting some of those ideas and those concepts. So if you live in the area, you know, we live in Minnesota in the Twin Cities, and you want to check out Gamers Rhapsody, by all means do it. I think it's going to be a really awesome convention this year, and also just to come support the Mercado Bros at our panel. So we're super excited about it, and I'm glad to share the stage with you guys again.
Absolutely, yeah, and come hang out with us, guys. It'd be nice to meet some of you guys. So we're going to play you guys out with Staff Credits from Wind Waker, and we'll talk to you guys next week as we look at Twilight Princess. My name is Carl Brueggemann.
I'm his brother, Will Brueggemann. Once again, you can find all of our original music on supermercadobros.com, along with every single episode of this show. Thanks again to Marty for joining us. This has been a fantastic time. Have a great week, everybody.
Peace out.
See ya.